We want to welcome those that are watching online this morning. Glad to have you wherever you're watching us from. We have people that watch us from all over the place, all over the world, really, seriously. We have friends in India that watch us, in Africa, and Latin America, and right here in this area. If you're sick and you couldn't make it to the building today, we're glad to have you join us. And if you ever miss a service, you can either watch us online or you can go back and get the video archive or subscribe to our podcast. And every week on Monday or Tuesday, you'll get a fresh message upload to your podcast, and you can follow us on that. Let's give them a hand and welcome all the folks that are with us online. I want to give you a little announcement before we get going. That is that Lacey Sween will be with us next Sunday leading us in worship. So some of y'all remember Lacey? She's going to be back with us for a Sunday. Also, she's going to be with us Friday night and Saturday morning doing worship and teaching sessions over in the Student Center. So if you want to get just a whole weekend of prayer and worship, come Friday night, 7 o'clock over in the Student Center, and Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. On the back side of your sermon notes are a bunch of different events that are going on, prayer meetings and stuff. Get your notes out. Let's get ready. Let's dig in. We have a mission here at Promised Land. That mission is for everybody to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't want you just to have a religious experience. We don't want you just to have habits that you don't understand or disconnected from. But we want you to have an actual relationship with God, that you know God, and that he knows you, and that you talk to him, and that he talks to you, and you actually listen when he talks to you, and you actually follow what he says. Well, for those of you that are new, it's difficult to listen to God. Sometimes it's difficult to talk to God. You don't know how to do that. And so we're on a journey right now as a church to just press in and focus in on God and listen up. How many of y'all had a teacher or parent or somebody said, all right, listen up, everybody. Here, attention, listen up. This is important. Well, that's what we're doing in January is we're listening up, but we're also listening up to God. What are you saying, God? He's speaking to everybody in the room, everybody watching online. God's speaking to you. The question is, are you hearing what he's saying? And it doesn't have to be a weird thing, a creepy thing or anything like that. I know that sometimes people that hear from God say some weird things. So today we're going to talk about that. Not the weird things. We're going to make it not weird. And here's a couple things that we talked about last week that I want to make sure you're in on. The first one is this: schedule regular prayer time this week. And I want to tell you the ultimate goal be do it every day. So carve out some time in your schedule, and if you want something to happen, you have to make sure you do it first. And maybe you don't necessarily do it first in the day, but you put it down first. Like, if there's anything I'm going to do today, it's going to be pray at 8 p.m. tonight, or whatever it is, 7 a.m., noon, when you're commuting to work. Schedule regular prayer time that you can talk to God, you can listen to God, you can journal, you can read the Bible. Do it when no one else is around. That's going to be hard for some of you. You're going to have to get up early. You're going to have to stay up late. You're going to have to find somewhere at work. You're going to have to go out in the woods or something. I don't know, but find a place where you can talk out loud and it's not going to freak somebody out and you're not going to be distracted by them. Okay, so get a regular prayer time. And then the second thing is fast from something significant. So over the next 14 days, find something that you can go without. And this should be a regular habit of believers, but we don't focus on it a whole lot at Promised Land. But the beginning of the year and, getting toward Easter and other times, we fast. We want to separate ourselves from our regular routine. So that's what fasting is. We're connecting to God. Fasting doesn't make you more holy or make you, loved by God anymore, but it separates you from your routine, and it a biblical or a churchy way to say that would be, you know, it separates you from your carnality or your flesh. It separates you from the rut that you're in. So going without food, you can fast one day a week. You can fast every day of the week. You can fast from certain foods. You can fast from social media. It was funny, the service before this, I went over to the student center and I was talking to some of the ladies that were over there serving. And I said, hey, to one of them, hey, I sent you a picture on Instagram. Did you see it? And she said, no, I'm fasting from Instagram. And I was like, oh, that's a great answer. And I'm not going to cause you to stumble today by looking at your Instagram feed. So we want to hear from God. But here's the answer that we want to find today. We want to answer this question. How do I know when it's God? And it's not just some other voice. It's not just my imagination. It's not just something I saw on TV. It's not just the bad burrito I ate last night. God speaks to us in dreams. He speaks to us in visions. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through songs. You know, he can speak to you through entertainment sometimes. He can speak to you through your private prayer time. He can speak to you through a sermon. As the word is being read today or something I say, God can speak to you. He's speaking and all these things. But how do you know it's actually him and not just you thinking it? So let's talk about that today. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a path before each person that seems right. It seems right, but it ends in death. Ooh, we don't want to get on a path that seems right, but it's taking us in the wrong direction. So we want to hear, want to make sure it's God speaking. And sometimes it can change just like that. One time Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? And Peter stands up and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that's right. And you didn't just figure that out on your own. You heard from God. That's a word from God. That's a message from God. And then not even 5 minutes later, Jesus is talking about the path he has to take to his crucifixion. He has to die. And Peter stands up again. He goes, no, Jesus, no, you don't have to die. You don't have to go to the cross. Now what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Peter. You're just, you know, calm down, Peter. No, that's not what he said. Get behind me, Satan. The voice you're hearing now, Peter, is not God, it's Satan. So Peter went from telling him the word of God to tell him something else. We don't want to be in that place, all right? We want to hear from God. We want to listen to God. We want to act on what God is saying and be able to recognize his voice. John 7:17, anyone who wants to do God's will can test this teaching and know whether it's from God or whether I'm making it up. That's what Jesus was telling them. He said, if you want to know this is right, test it. And that's what we want to do. We want to test these messages. And so here's some way to test them. Here's the first one. Take out your notes and put this down. The first question you want to ask is, does it agree with the Bible? When you're hearing a message, you're hearing a voice, you're hearing a thought or whatever, feeling something, you got to ask yourself, does this thought agree with the Bible? The truth is that God's will never contradict God's word. God's word is the same today, yesterday, forever. And it's his word doesn't change. The Bible is the word of God, and it is the truth. It was true 5,000 years ago. It was true 7 minutes ago. It will be true 7 billion years from now. The word of God is true. Why? Because it's from God. No matter what it is, it's God's word. So you can write this down. If God said it, it will always be true. If God said it. God's consistent. God never changes. And God would never tell you to do something if it violated something in the Bible. All right? So if you get a word, a thought, you know, hey, I'm feeling like I should do this or that, and you know that the Bible says that you shouldn't do that, then you know this is not God speaking to me. this is society speaking to me. This is somebody that's influencing me from the outside. It's not God. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. That's Jesus. Then in 1 Peter 1:24, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. If God's saying, if you hear a voice, I should say, if you hear a voice that's saying, you need to make this business transaction, you need to hide this on your taxes, you need to, what? You need to move in with this person, you need to have a relationship with this person, it's okay if you do this or that, what? Wait a minute. Oh, I'm feeling it. It feels so good. When I'm with them, it feels so good. What does the Bible say? Does it agree with the Bible or not? If the Bible doesn't agree with it, then it's not God's voice. It's somebody else's voice. So this is why reading the Bible is so important. If you don't read the Bible, you don't know what it says, right? And you can use the Bible as like a medicine cabinet if you want and go, I'm looking for a scripture and try to find it and pick one out and use that scripture or whatever for certain situations, but that's really not the way the Bible was intended to be used. It was intended to be eaten as a meal every day, and it was to bring you health every day. It's a part of your natural, wow, that was good. I didn't say that in the other way. God, thank you for that. That was good. It's a meal. It's not a prescription for you. It's a meal. We eat it every day. It's healthy. It's the bread of life that comes forth. And it's something that we need to have in us so that when those times come, we just know, hey, this is not in the Bible. I know it's not right. So if I think that it should be right or I other people say that it's right, but the Bible doesn't say that it's right, then there needs to be an accountability system. There needs to be an adjustment in me, not in the Bible. The Word of God stays the same. So that's the first thing. Does it agree with the Bible? The second is it convicting rather than condemning? There's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. And both of these are voices. In fact, you will hear both conviction and condemnation throughout your life. You got to know the difference between the two of them, because you're going to hear both of these, and so you got to be able to discern a difference. Here's a clear understanding. Conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from Satan. Is that clear enough? I don't know how to get any clearer than that. Conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from the devil. So if you hear something like, you know, you said something to your child, you know, you lashed out at them, or you said something to your wife, and then there's this feeling, I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe you lashed out to your parent, and you say, oh, man, something doesn't feel right here. That is conviction. That's God saying, shouldn't have done that. Maybe you're in a lifestyle situation, and you got conviction. I don't feel right about this. That's God telling you it's time to move on. Here's something I want to make sure everybody knows today. If you've come here today and you don't have a relationship with God, you're far from God, but you want to try this out, you're new to this, I want you to know that you don't have to leave here and fix your life and then come back and receive Jesus in your life. In fact, you can receive Jesus today, right now, in the middle of your mess. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that you don't have to go earn your salvation and come get it from God. Jesus already earned it for you. Just trust in what he's done for you already, and you're saved in him. That's good news, because you would spend your whole life trying to be holy like God and never make it. Oh, you'd do it for a few days, right? Put a few days together, and then you'd fall. And then you'd never make. But Jesus did it for you. But when you come today, and if you've come today and you're far from God, and you want to get close to God, we're going to pray in a minute when I close right here, and you're going to pray with me, and we're going to get together with God today. But this is what I want to tell you. From that point forward, God's going to bring conviction in your life. He's going to continue to bring that conviction in your life so you can know how to get closer to him and become holy like him. He doesn't want you to stay in a state that is unlike him. He wants you to start a journey today. You're not complete. You're not perfect. In fact, I started off last week saying you're in a room with a bunch of messed up people. And that's the case. There's just a lot of saved people that are working their way toward the holiness that God is calling us to. But it's a journey. We call that journey sanctification. That's you becoming more like him. But it takes a while. But that's why God brings conviction in your life to make you aware. Ah, this didn't used to bother me when I wasn't following Jesus, but now it bothers me. Why? Because that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit coming into your life saying, you know what, it's time to change that particular thing in your life because you don't live like that. You're not in that identity anymore. You're my kid, and our family doesn't act that way. So come on, start. And it's a beautiful thing that God does. It's a heavy thing sometimes. It's a specific laser point thing that God says, this specific thing is something I don't want you following anymore. And I'm going to give you the Spirit, my Spirit, to help you break that curse and come out of that. And that's what conviction, oh, okay, Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me strength to overcome this. And you're delivered and you're set free from it. It starts with a conviction that God gives to you. We want to be sensitive to that. We want to respond to it. But condemnation is not like that. Condemnation is not laser focused, and it's not to help you grow. Condemnation is from Satan, and it's because he's jealous of you, and he hates you, and he wants your position as a son and a daughter of God. And condemnation comes as a cloud of guilt over you. It's a heaviness over you, a darkness that comes over you, and you can't really put your finger on it, but it's an identity thing. The devil has come to tell you you're not good enough. You've messed up. You remember what you did when you're in high school, when you're in college? You'll never outlive that. That's who you are. You were born to the wrong family. You don't have enough money. All these things the devil's putting on you to tell you who you are. You're not going to make it. These are identity things. That's condemnation. We know that's not from God because Romans 8 and 1 says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So God's voice is not a voice of condemnation. Anytime you feel that you're not good enough, you're not going to make it, the whole world's against you, all that, that's the word from Satan condemning you. Listen to this. God will never attack your value. So whenever you hear a word, a feeling, a thought that is attacking you as a person, your value, who you are, what you can accomplish, all that kind of stuff, that's not from God. That's from the devil. How long does conviction last? If God brings conviction to your heart, how long should that last? Well, it lasts until you repent. Repentance is when you are walking in a certain direction. You're walking this way, away from God, and then God brings conviction into your heart. You're made aware of the sin in your life, and you go, I don't want to sin. I don't want to live a life that's not honoring God. I'm going to repent, which is to turn, and I'm going to start walking toward God. Repentance is when conviction ends. Conviction has done its job, so it stays here. And you leave it, and you start walking toward Jesus. But condemnation follows you. So let's just say it like this. If you've come to God, and you've asked for forgiveness for some sin in your life that you know you committed, and you're sorry for it, and you say, Jesus, I'm sorry for it, and he forgives you right there and then. You're forgiven of your sin. It doesn't have any weight on you any longer, no consequence, because the blood of Jesus has forgiven you of your sin. So when you do that and you turn and you start walking toward God, but you still have a darkness over you, you still feel guilty about it, you still feel heavy about it, that's condemnation from the devil. And that's when you need to start praying and saying, devil, get behind me. Because that's not me anymore. I am a new person. And I'm not going to keep listening to the old nature and the old voices of the devil, of that condemning spirit. Look at this one verse, Revelation 3:19 says, this is what God is saying, I correct and discipline everyone I love. That's so important. Can we put that up on the screen, Revelation 3:19? I correct and discipline everyone I love. So when you're in this place of conviction, it's not because God is mad at you, God doesn't like you, No, that's not the case at all. It's because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay in that place of sin. He wants you to turn from that sin and walk into a new life. So be diligent and turn. Don't just turn from the sin, but turn from the indifference. That's such a good word right there. Turn from the indifference. All right, so you're asking yourself, does this word agree with the Bible? Is this convicting or is it condemning? That tells us if it's God or not. But look at this last one. Do you sense God's peace about it? Do you sense God's peace about it? If you're feeling pressure and overwhelmed by something, a voice that you're hearing, a message that you're hearing, I just can't do this, I don't understand it and all that, then you don't have peace about this word. It's not from God. You're going to have peace that God is speaking to you when he's speaking to you. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but there's peace. And this is really hard to explain. But I can tell you, when you feel the peace, you know it. And sometimes it's a no, and you feel peace about a no. And sometimes it's a yes, and you feel peace about a yes. Actually, sometimes it's a maybe later, and you got to have peace about that as well. And God will give you peace about that. And I was just talking to Erica about this the other day, and I was like, you know, tell me about, I want to hear about you and, you know, when God talks to you. And she was saying just a couple weeks ago, there was a situation she was with when somebody was asking her to do something. And there's nobody in here. You don't know them, so don't try to figure out who we're talking about. Somebody's trying to say, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? And kind of putting a lot of pressure, a lot of heaviness on her. And she prayed about it. And she talked to me, and she talked to a couple other people, and finally said, I have peace about saying no to this person. And basically the peace from God was that you're not the Savior, you're not going to be the one to bring deliverance to this situation, and God is the Savior, God is the one that's in charge of this. And so you can have peace knowing that this person is going to find the answer from somewhere else. You don't have to carry that weight. And so sometimes you can tell people no and have peace from God that he's in control. He's going to take care of it. There's other times when we are praying about, should we move to New Mexico, right? Or should I go to school? Should I marry Erica? I fasted and prayed about that. This is a big decision. I mean, I love her. My heart is so excited about marrying her. My mind is excited about marrying her. But Lord, what are you saying about this? And I remember fasting and praying about it and saying, God, should I marry her? Should I not marry her? Because when I was in college, I had created this list of my spouse's characteristics. And I had all these line items that my wife was going to have done and accomplished and be and all this kind of stuff. And I was so, you know, I'm very much organized and planning and all this kind of stuff. And then when I looked at Erica, it didn't fit. The list didn't fit at all. And so I said, God, what's happening? Did I have a good list? Did I have a bad list? Are you going to change the list? Are you going to change her? Are you going to change me? And I can tell you the exact place where I was standing in this day and where I was praying and what was going on. I can tell you that God just began to go down that list with me, and I began to hear him talk to me about, okay, this situation, this is what's going to happen. This situation, this is what's going to happen. This one is dumb. Why'd you even put that on there to begin with? That's stupid. Just keep going down the list, right, like that. And here we are, married. And thank God. There's other decisions, like I remember 10 years ago, should we buy this house, you know, that we saw? We looked at a bunch of different houses 10 years ago. And I remember, this is before this building was here. We were had the other building over there, and I was praying in the other building over there, and I was sitting on the front row kind of like this over there. And I remember as I was sitting there praying, I had my head bowed like this, and I was praying, and I saw a vision in my head, and it was kind of like just my imagination. And I was about 100 feet up in the air looking down on that house. And I could just see the house and the surrounding areas. And there just was this sense of peace that came over me when I saw that vision of the house that we currently live in. And I just knew at that moment, this is the house. And we're going to go for it. Now, you know, that's a big mortgage. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You know, all these questions. But there was a peace. We can do it. God's in this. I know this is going to work. I know this is going to happen. I don't know all the details, but I know it can happen. Satan wants to drive us compulsively, but God wants to draw us compassionately. God uses compassion. God uses peace. God uses love to move us into a situation where the devil is trying to use fear, manipulation, anxiousness, stress to push you to make a move. But that's not the way God works. God uses peace and compassion to draw you into a movement where the devil wants to push you with the fear of your heart and the fear of the future. That's just not going to happen. A lot of negative things. And so some of you, when you think about hearing from God, it's just like negative. There's a guy that pastored in Florida named Peter Lord, and he wrote a book in the 80s called Listening to God. He said 90% of what God wants to say to you is encouragement. And I believe that. 90% of what God wants to tell you is encouragement. So if all you hear is negativity from God and about God, then you're hearing a very, very limited portion of what God wants to tell you. So that's what we want to do. We want to get out from the cloud and the blocking of God's signal. So if you're grew up like me back in the old days, there was an antenna that you had to tune the TV to get the TV just right. You know what I'm talking about? And you had to get it just right and then hold it, watch some TV, watch Cowboys lose, whatever you're trying to, you know, watch on TV. I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm kidding. I had to pray for somebody the other day because they were like so concerned that I didn't like the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys. I just like to have fun. Okay. They had a great season. So did the Texans. Okay. You had to tune in with the antenna. Those of you that are too young to remember an antenna, you just need to think about it like this. You got to figure out what the password is for the Wi-Fi. You got to tune in to the right signal so you can get connected. Some of you are in here trying to use your cell phone in the church. It didn't work because there's a metal roof over here and all that kind of stuff. You got to get outside the open air to get so that your phone can get connected to the signal. Some of you spiritually are sheltered in a way from the situation of your life, the habits that you're in, the attitude that you have, that you're disconnected from God. And so that's what prayer and fasting does, is it separates you from the systems of your life, the decisions of your life, the ruts of your life. And, you know, sometimes those can be addictions or relationship issues or financial situations that just burden you down and block you from hearing God's message. But quite frankly, sometimes it can be success. It can be things that are going well in your life and raises that you've had and all the things and the stuff and the busyness of life, the good stuff that can block you from hearing from God as well. So that's why we're pressing in and we're saying, God, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Jesus said this in John 8:47. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But this is the part we don't like. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. He's talking to religious folks that thought they were real important and all that. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to just check something off the list because that's what Christian people do. That's not an intimate relationship with God. It's pressing in and saying, God, I want to hear from you. I want to listen to what you're having to say. I'm going to tell you, just in the last week, what I've been doing is just praying in the car. I mean, just sometimes with worship music on, sometimes without, and just saying, God, I love you. God, I want to be more near to you. I want to be closer to you, God. I want to tune out the world and tune into you and just kind of making up my own song. Some of you need to make up your own song. Just sing a song of praise to God. It doesn't have to be on key. Nobody's listening. It doesn't have to be the cool lyrics. It doesn't have to be rhyming lyrics and all that. No, the Bible says lift up a joyful noise to the Lord. And some of you, that's all you got. It's just a noise, okay? Lift it up to the Lord. Lord, I love you. God, I praise your name. I honor you today, Lord. I'm so thankful to be in this world and just have another day. Thank you for fresh air. Thank you for a vehicle that I can drive. Thank you for my family. Thank you for these clothes. Thank you for fresh water, Lord. Thank you for hot baths, showers, and food to eat, Lord. Thank you. I put you first before I do anything else. I'm praying and reaching out to God. And then here's the last thing I want to say, and it's this. What would other people say about the word that God has given you? And I'm not talking about, you know, go just to work and say, hey, you know what, I think God told me this. Don't throw your pearls before the swine. That's what Jesus said. Find somebody in your life that you can trust and say, hey, I feel like God's saying this to me. What do you think about that? Would you pray about that with me? And y'all can reconvene in a week and say, you know what, I feel like God's... I do this all the time with people in the church, people outside of the church, friends of mine, pastors. Hey, would you pray about this with me? Would you think about this with me? What do you know anything in the Bible that says against this or for this? Do you think this is a condemning message or a convicting message? Talk to other people about it. Get them in the conversation. And just be a little bit vulnerable. Be transparent. Find somebody you can take a risk with and say, I want to talk to you about what God's saying in my life. Let's think about this. Let's pray about this together. And if you're here today and you've already got somebody like that in your life, that's amazing. That's a God thing. Stay with it. Keep going. In fact, this is what we want you to do. Invite a couple more people into that conversation. And then we're going to call it a promise group. Yeah. And those of you that don't have anybody in here to talk about these kind of things with, we have done the legwork for you, and we're going to let you know today. In fact, you should have gotten a little handout today with over 50 groups that are meeting in our church. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. When you find a small group, you find safety because you've got the counsel of many. You've got a quorum. That would be the business term for it. We're going to get together and we're going to talk about this. What's God saying? God's in the middle of that conversation. If you're here today and you're not connected to other believers, I want you to get on that list that you see there. And this whole list is on our website as well. You can always go to our website. Those of you that are watching online right now, go to our website and you can find a group that's meeting. And, you know, just try it out. You're not committing your life. You're not marrying this group or anything like that. Just try it out for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. If it doesn't, you know, connect, if you don't connect with them, try another one out. There's no pressure. There's no... this is not under compulsion. This is a resource that we want to share with you because we want you to hear from God. We want you to act on it. We want you to be confirmed in it. Would you join with me in prayer right now? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person here. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, thank you for what you're speaking to us about. It matters. It matters. It matters. And we want you to know, God, that our ears are open to hear what you would say to us. We want to hear what you would have to say to us, God. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. We want to hear, Lord. We're opening up our ears. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to seek your face, Lord. We're going to seek to know you better in Jesus' name. If there's anybody in here today that you're far from God, you don't know God at all, or maybe you used to have a relationship, but you've drifted, let's get right with God right now. Let's pray a prayer of repentance and humility right now. If you're in that spot, you're ready to get in connection with God, just say something like this. Repeat these words. Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my life today. Please fill me with your love. I surrender to you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please reveal to me things I should change. Please help me with my hurt. Please help me with my hang-ups. Please help me with my past. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I make myself available to you. I look to you, Jesus, as my Lord. I trust in you, Jesus, as my Savior. And I want to live my life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now and thank you.